Hello and welcome back to Keeping Up Appearances. So it's good to be back. It's been quite a while since we've actually recorded anything. We had a bit of a break going into the end of last season, but we are back. However, we are back with a few changes. As you can see, if you are watching on YouTube, or soon you will hear on audio, that we don't have quite as many mics today. We don't have quite as many voices. We have only two hosts. We've got a bit of a shake-up. We've got me, Sean, who I've been here since the start. But unfortunately, we will not be having Tosh, Cal and Bob every week. They will return as guests quite often, hopefully. There's been no beef before anyone starts. We're still mates. We just decided to shake it up a little bit. And with the three of those stepping back, we needed a new host. So we went to probably, when you say a friend of the show, probably the best friend of the show we had. I think, if I'm right, he appeared the most out of anyone as a guest the last couple of years. He was our guest from the States, but he was also our 2024 Christmas Quizmaster. Our new host on Keeping Up Appearances Season 3 is Max Burns.
Thank you very much, Sean. That was actually a decent introduction. Yeah, very excited to be here. Yeah, no pressure. Finally got the call to the first team. super excited to be here. Can't wait to get going and talk some football.
Yeah, I feel like we've got... But it's going to be pretty much very similar lines in terms of what the podcast was.
Yeah.
But we maybe try some new things, because when you get new people involved or a bit of a fresh start. So, yeah, don't worry. It's not going to be like, we're not going to start talking about anything else. It's still going to be naming random footballers. Still going to be talking about how Everton got beat every week. And, it'll all be the same, but maybe some slightly new things, which hopefully you'll like. So, this week's one, as a bit of a special, it's just going to be the two of us, just as a bit of an introduction to kind of, where we're going this season. And we decided we'd do what most other podcasts have done and most other YouTubers, and we're going to do some pre-season, in inverted commas, predictions for the 25-26 season. So obviously, we're recording this after the full weekend of fixtures has already happened. But if it's good enough for Monday Night Football, it's good enough for us. You know what I mean? They don't do it. They don't do it before the first weekend either. So,
bunch of cheats.
Yeah, we're very much the podcast. Well, I can't say the podcast Gary Neville, because he's on Everton anyway, isn't he? But yeah, Neville and Carragher. So we've created 10 kind of categories that we're going to predict. Obviously we've now got a bit of knowledge that might help us based on the first weekend, but as you've seen millions of times, the first weekend of football in the Premier League can sometimes mean very little. So, Max, should we get started?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, let's crack on then. So, as always, I think with these predictions, we should always start at the top of the table. We'll end up at the bottom very, very soon, but we'll start at the top. So we're going to name our top four in order. So from obviously first, second, third, fourth. Now, what we've done, we've put our predictions in the chat. We've not seen each other's predictions, which is good, because one of us might have a howler. probably will have a howler. But so we're going to put them in the chat and we'll see what we've gone for. So let's have a look. Okay, so Max, tell you what, you go for yours first.
Yeah. So I went with Liverpool's the league winners. Obviously, last season, finishing 10 points clear, took the foot off the gas a little bit towards the end, but they were the clear runaway winners. The signings they've made, they've made a real statement, but I mean, after the last couple of games, I'm a little bit pessimistic, but I'm going to stick with them and go with Liverpool. Second place up went City. I don't think you can ever count out City. I think they've got the best manager in the world in Pep Guardiola. If Rodri comes back fit in a couple of weeks, and if Haaland stays fit, they should be challenging for the title. I think it's either one of them. Third place have went for Chelsea. They're current World Club Cup champions. Did I say that right? I think
Club World Cup.
Club World Cup champions. Yeah. I think they've built quite a decent squad. It's like, you know, they got loads of stick for the past 2 years with the amount of money they spent and the amount of players they bought, but they've actually put something decent together. And then in fourth place have went Arsenal, which might come as a little bit of a shock to people. I just think they've got so much pressure on them to win. And I just don't think they've got what it takes to like handle that pressure of trying to win everything. I don't think, you know, how many players that they have that have actually won something or won a title. I'm not too sure. Someone's going to correct me on that. It's going to be bad. This I'm already made a bad mistake.
No, I think it'd only be the City reject, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like Gabriel
Jesus and that. Yeah,
but like, I mean, where was Saliba before that? He was on loan at Saint-Etienne, hasn't won anything. Gabriel's not won anything. Odegaard's not really won anything. Yeah, other than count what he's at Real Madrid. Nah. Kai Havertz, but he's not your leader.
Champions League final winner.
Yeah, he is, but he's not like a leader on that team, is he? So it's like there's just so much pressure on him. And I also think Mikel Arteta is a tool. So there's my top four. Liverpool, I reckon. I did that, you know, the Premier League preseason 20, and I think like 92 points wins it. And I think Liverpool and City can get to that. I don't think the others can.
Fair enough. Well, based on mine, we've actually gone, well, same four teams, just in a slightly different order.
Yeah.
I can't really argue with anything you've said either. I think, I'll be honest, I don't watch Liverpool. I haven't watched Liverpool the last two games, but I just feel like they ran away with it last season. And everyone keeps talking about Salah going to the AFCON as if, like, I think you've almost built a squad where that won't be as big of a miss anymore. So, I still think Liverpool win it. They might not coast it like they did, but I still think they'll win it. I'll be honest, I was going to throw City a little bit lower. But then, mainly because they've seemed to have bought quite a few new players, and I was almost a bit intrigued as to how it was going to look. And don't get me wrong, I know they played Wolves, which, like, it's hardly like a big test, is it? But
no.
I just think it seems to look, it worked. Do you know what I mean? Even the substitutes that came on, it all seemed to work. And I think even losing a lot of the old guard, like your De Bruyne's and stuff like that, they seem to have like clicked into gear. Haaland scored two early doors, which is massive for him because then he gets that like taboo off his back of scoring.
He needs to stay fit, doesn't he? If he stays fit.
Yeah. And I think, I just think that's huge for them. So a big win early doors. I've gone for them second. Then I've gone Arsenal third, Chelsea fourth. I was going to throw Chelsea third, similar to you. But I'm making stuff up here. But in my head, I don't know if Chelsea will. They always seem to care more about Europe. Yeah. Like, especially winning the Club World Cup. Obviously, winning the Champions League gains you entry into the Club World Cup. Winning the Premier League doesn't. And don't get me wrong, they'd all love to win it, but I feel like I might be on Europe a little bit trying to win the Champions League. So I've gone for them in fourth, and Arsenal, for the reasons you mentioned, they're not going to get over the line. I just don't think they can do it. Even like Jokeres, for example, he might get them 15 goals, but I still don't believe they're strong enough, even like mentally, to deal with a title running, especially against, like, if it were to be a 3-horse race, I think they'd fall off even quicker. So
absolutely, I couldn't agree more with that. Like, you're right about Liverpool. Like, if we get Isak and Gehi, that's a team. I would 100% say we're going to win the league. I think we are still missing a couple of players, and then Salah goes away for AFCON, and he could miss 5 to 6 games, I think. But Frimpong can play there, and he looks like a player. I love Conor Bradley, so he can go into right back. Then Ekitike looks a player. Kayser scored at the weekend, Gakpo's there. So, like, you've still got enough.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, there's a few years back where we really went and we struggled in that January and we ended up losing the league on goal difference, I think. And that was massive. So, yeah, I think we've got the squad. City have got, are just winners. Reinders, I think that's how you say it. He looks a player. Like, he was quality at the weekend. And then, yeah, again, Rodri. He's the Ballon d'Or winner. Haaland's the best goal scorer in the league, if not the world. So, and they've, I mean, I think they've got to figure out the goalkeeper situation, but yeah, Arsenal are going to be a bunch of bottlers.
Yeah, no change there. Yeah, so it seems we're on the same lines. And to be fair, we've hardly gone anything like groundbreaking there, have we? Most people have had those four teams generally in a different order. So,
unless you're Gary Neville, who's put Man United fourth.
I know, but he's just a loser.
Yeah.
Like, it's just ridiculous. Right, so we've done the top four. Let's now move on to the bottom three. So we're going to do our teams in order. So, yeah, obviously, 18th, 19th, 20th.
Let me do this first because I don't want to be change my answer off yours because I've changed my answer 1,000 times for this.
Yeah, so have I.
I need to look at my thing I wrote down.
Okay, wow. So
that's a good one too.
As you can see, we've actually only gone one team the same. So I'll go first on this one. So I think we've, as you can see, we've both agreed on Burnley being bottom. I'm assuming that is bottom for you. Last one's bottom.
Yeah.
I just think Burnley, like, do you know what I was thinking the other day? Like, obviously, remember we were in school and, like, you'd collect, like, your shootout cards and that. I know it might be a thing of being a kid, but, like, if anything, I should know more about footy now. I don't know a single Burnley player. Like, I just don't. And I think it just shows you that, like, even Sunderland have tried to go out and buy some players for a bit of money, you know, like, they bought, like, Granit Xhaka and that, but Burnley, I just don't have a hope for them, to be honest. I feel like Scott Parker is just the ultimate yo-yo manager now. Very, very Barclays-many in the way that, like those old managers like your Alan Kerbishleys who manage them at Charlton, you just, like, go up and down. I just feel like that's just him. Or he'll get sacked, one of the two. I've gone Burnley bottom. 19th, I've actually gone Brentford, who I just don't see how they possibly survive with losing all these players and their manager. Like, obviously, for years, they've been touted as, like, one of the best-run teams, and they've had Thomas Frank, who's, like, so charismatic, and he clearly was able to get something out of them and turn, like, not bang-average players, but, like, not big-name players, turn them into, like, Premier League players, and they've all gone. And I've been left with Keith Andrews, who, not the playing at the top level matters, but he's got no kind of calibre in any way. He's just, like, one of those... Do you know what? When I heard that he'd taken the job, he was just like, I knew his name, I knew his face. And I was like, I remember he played for some teams, but like, he just, I don't imagine if you're a Brentford player or a Brentford fan, you're looking at him thinking, we're flying here, or we're going to, I don't know. I wouldn't have much confidence. And then obviously, not a great time of the weekend either. So yeah, I'm going to say, I think it's time for Brentford. And then my last one was probably the one I struggled on most. I think I could have thrown maybe four teams in there. I have gone for Sunderland, but I was potentially going to throw Leeds in, Wolves, West Ham. Quite a few of them popped in, but I just thought out of the three promoted teams, I feel like Sunderland, they've spent loads of money as if that's going to fix things. They've bought, like, Brentford and Sunderland have both done the same thing of buying an experienced Premier League centre mid in Jordan Henderson and Xhaka, as if that's going to fix things. And, like, I know they want to do weekend. I haven't seen the highlights of it and the goals. It just looked like terrible goalkeeping for most of them. Like, but a 3-0 win is massive. It's like the biggest confidence boost in the world. But I just think they've spent a lot of money. Are they going to have a fight in them 38 games? I don't think so. And I think if you look at Leeds squad, obviously beat us last night. I just think that was a lot of their team, especially like the forwards, were the players they had in the Premier League. like with Nonto and Dan James and stuff. So I just think Leeds will scrape it. I've got faith in West Ham. They've got enough good players. Likewise with Wolves. So I think they'll survive, but who knows? I really don't know.
Yeah, so I've obviously went for Burnley as well, Tony. If I can't not disagree that they have surely locked in to finish last. They are a yo-yo club. They're not going to get rid of Scott Parker because I think their expectation is that they're going back down.
Yeah,
and they'll come back up again maybe and be like a real yo-yo club again. I agree. I don't know any players. I know, the only one I know is Ashley Barnes, and it's because I put him in my fantasy football team because I had no money left.
Yeah, it must have been about a pound, wasn't it? Yeah.
I think obviously 0 points, and he will forever get 0 points. But 19th, actually, I went for Wolves. I think they're the bads. I mean, playing City, they lost 4-0, but they've lost Cunha, who I thought was literally their only bright spark last season, the reason why they did stay up. The manager, Vitor Pereira, I think maybe one of my answers later, I don't want to spoil it, but I just don't think as a whole group they've got what it takes to stay up. And again, I'm the same as you. I had like in my head about 7 teams here that could possibly go down. I think there's so many teams that have not kicked on from last season and actually just got worse. Yeah. Brentford's definitely one of them. I just don't have any hope for Wolves at all. And then I have went for Leeds, and obviously they beat you last night, but when I did this last week, I had the 3 promoted teams to go down because I just felt like logic-wise, it always happens. The gap's getting much bigger between the Premier League and the Championship. It's going to be that way. Out of Leeds and Sunderland, I like the players Sunderland signed, like bigger name players, but I don't like Daniel Farke as a manager. And I think that's going to come back at some point in the season, and he could be one of the contenders to get sacked first. Yeah. But then, like you said, West Ham, worry for them. Oh, they've got the worst owners in the league. So they're just like tumultuous. Anything can happen with them. Brentford, I agree. They've lost Visa, they lost Mbeumo, lost the manager, and haven't really replaced them. And I'm also thinking like Bournemouth. Yeah. Bournemouth lost 4 of the back 5.
Yeah.
And maybe sign 2 players. I don't know who they are. So Kerkez, Zabiani, Tyson, whatever his name is, and Kepa. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So that's going to be massive. And then Everton, I actually think, will do all right for you.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. I didn't throw them in my contenders to go down because as much as like last night obviously wasn't great, we notoriously don't start well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll have enough to not be in this battle again. Do you know what I mean? I just think David Moyes with us from the start. We've got like, we had loads of new signings on the bench last night. And I think once it clicks, it might click quite well, if you know what I mean. So yeah. I haven't thrown us in, but there's every chance. Like, there really is. Like,
yeah. So just to clarify, if I didn't make that clear, Leeds, Wolves and Burnley. That's my bottom 3.
Okay.
All right, so our next category in our predictions is top goal scorer. And as you see, if you're watching on YouTube or even on Spotify, we both went for the same player, Erling Haaland. So as we said before, I think he is the best goal scorer in the league and potentially the world. Best number 9 anyway. And he's just got to stay fit. If he stays fit, he gets 25 plus easy, like quite comfortably. And that'll be the difference for them whether they win the league or not. So honestly, not much else to say. I think Salah, last season for Liverpool, he was the focal point, and I think it was quite obvious. Everything went through him, and that's why he scored so much. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I think they're trying to get more goals from elsewhere. That's Ekitike obviously started well. He scored 2 and 2. If they sign Isak, he's going to score a bunch of goals. Gakpo usually chips in with 10 to 15. And then now they've added Wirtz as well in midfield. He's going to score goals. So I think it's going to take away from Salah more than anything. And then it's the same for Isak. If he's at Liverpool, he might not score. He'll score a lot, but he won't score as many as he did being the main guy for Newcastle. So just went straightforward, Erling Haaland, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've pretty much taken the words out of my mouth there. The only other possible contenders are the likes of Salah or Isak. But again, I think Liverpool's goals are going to be shared out more, aren't they? Because I don't think, if you look at the likes of like the big money striker moves like Gyökeres or Sesko, can't think if there's anyone else. I just don't think they're going to be anywhere near that conversation. Gyökeres might. I hope he does. I really do. I hope he like performs, but I don't think he's going to have the numbers. I just don't.
No.
Yeah. So yeah, nice and easy that one. Erling Haaland for both of us.
Typing away, Sean. So the next category is best signing, and this time we went for two different people. I went for Jack Grealish, which I'm sure you and other Everton fans listening will like to hear. At the end of the day, he's a £100 million player, and he's going to a club that was in the bottom half of the league last season. I hope for his sake he actually finds that old Jack Grealish that he was at Aston Villa, and the reason why he is a £100 million player. Like a lot of players, maybe wingers more than anything, like go to Manchester City or Barca or Bayern Munich with Pep Guardiola, they just get moulded into a type of player that works for the system, and it absolutely destroyed him and his career, probably. Going into like Euro 2020 or 2021, there was so many calls for him to start and play because he was that good, and he didn't really... I don't think Southgate trusted him, but I just think he's a very good player, and going to Everton might be like a kickstart for that team. And I think that's why I sort of have Everton actually around maybe mid-table, 11th, 12th possibly. I mean, I say I hope he does well. I hope he does okay. Not too well.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
But I think it could be something big. I thought Keenan Dewsbury-Hall was a very good signing as well. But yeah, just to get him on loan. I mean, I don't know how it works with how much they're paying as wages, but obviously he was on the bench last night as well. But I think if he gets a good run of games and finds his form, he'll be a very good player for Everton.
Yeah. I'll be honest, like, I don't want to speak for Everton fans, but as far as like signings go, I don't remember ever being as excited for a sign as what it could do for Everton. Not in terms of like, I'm not expecting him to make up for some of the dross that we've got, because we still do have some like really bad players. But you just think that the spark that it could give us, whether that's even like in the changing rooms, in like the kind of like the way he plays football or the way he played football, you just, as you say, it very much depends what Grealish we get, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If he is allowed to be his old self, that spark he's got, I imagine it's like infectious a little bit, you know, in terms of like in the changing room, he's a good player to have around. But then I just think all we lacked last season was creativity. We had Ndiaye who could unlock certain things, and he scored quite a few goals, but that creativity that Grealish could give us could genuinely be the making of us this season. I really do. And I think I originally had him down as my sign of the season, but purely for this, because I was just buzzing off it. But I just think, I don't know, I think obviously that Leeds game, he came on, he couldn't impact the game because he just couldn't.
Yeah, tough way the game was.
But I just think, give him a couple of games, you know what I mean? By like October time, if he's flying, then I think we see a different Grealish and a different Everton. So, fingers crossed he does well. And also, when you say about the wages, I don't want to like have a rant on it, but I find it mad, you know, when like fans talk about wages and stuff, like, it's not my money, why do I care? Like, you're like, the Everton fans are all over like Twitter and that going, we shouldn't be paying them that, and you go, why are you bothered?
Yeah. Like,
if it was coming out of your pocket, or you're getting taxed on it, sad, but I'm not, I don't care. Paying whatever you want.
No one should care. It's funny that, because, you know, here in the States, obviously, there's massive money in all sports. And like, you know, like here, Boston Celtics, Jason Tatum gets a 6-year, $400 million contract. I can't believe they're spending that much money on him. Who cares? Just give him the money. Like, no one, no there. One's asked.
Yeah. But then, do you have to cap in the MLS, don't they?
The MLS is different. It's like, yeah, designated players. But even that rules are fast now, because like Messi turns up and then the league's like, oh yeah, you can get whoever you want. Bring whoever you want in.
Yeah.
They have like in the other sports, like salary caps, tax.
Yeah.
But once you have a player in your team, you can go over the salary cap. So,
okay.
So like the Celtics, for example, had Tatum. You know, they go to the team and they're young and they have like a 4 or 5 year, $25 million contract. So they're underneath the salary cap. But because it's individual based, they can give them as much as they want as long as they're in the team. So then once they get to the salary cap, it means they can't get someone new in. They have to be under it if they make a trade and all that.
Yeah, but,
yeah, no one's bothered anyway. And again, the only thing you may be bothered about if you're an Everton fan is if he does really, really well and you have to pay $50 million.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's a, I think it's an option to buy what from what I've read. And then again, that obviously, if it has implications on the PSR, you go, but again, why fans care about that? Like, I'm not an accountant. I'm not expecting anyone to run any finances past me. So do what you want, honestly. If he scores some goals for us and gets us to a cup final, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Right, so I'll move on to mine. My sign of the season. It was between two for the same team, to be honest. It was between Cherky at City or Reinders. And I've gone for Reinders because
he was one.
You what?
He say his full name.
If I had in front of me, I could, but I can't remember it. he's one of those where he just looked like the complete player at the weekend. And like, I know everyone was worried about how City would be without De Bruyne. And then you just saw him just absolutely rip it up. Again, I know it's the opposition's not the best, but the way he was just like, he was just totally controlling the whole game. And I think if you're looking for a sign end of the season, that's what City needed. I always think a sign of the season needs to be, it doesn't have to be someone that rips up the whole league, just someone who improves their team a lot, which again, I think Grealish would do for us. And I just think Reinders will be that player that, he's kind of like City fans can relax a little bit. And I loved watching City where like, you just look at the team now and it's all young players. It's not like, you're not still watching Kyle Walker and as much as love Bernardo Silva, you're not watching, you know what I mean? You're watching like these up and coming players who are like becoming the team. And I thought, I just think he'd be great. Likewise, that Cherky, I looked into him when he was running out of contract at Lyon because for a mad moment, Everton were linked with him. Mm-hmm. So I looked into him and I was like, let's see. I don't normally do this, but go ahead. And he just looked like the exact type of player that I think every football fan wishes they were. Do you know what I mean? Like he's just so exciting. He's so skillful. He throws little tricks in, but not tricks for the sake of it, like Yannick Bolasie would do. You know, like where he just do something to be on soccer AM. Like he just seems like a proper football player, and I love that. So I'm hoping he gets good game time, and Pep doesn't do what he did to Grealish because that would be a shame. But yeah, I'm not going with Cherky. I am going with Reinders. So.
Cherky's actually, I'm the same. I sort of saw him like 2 years ago or a year or two ago where he was all over like TikTok and Instagram reels because of clips from practice and training. The first Americanism. like training sessions for France where like they were doing shooting drills and he'd like do this mad touch and then finish this outrageous goal. And I don't think he made the Euro squad and he went to the Olympics instead. Could be wrong there. But I mean, he's obviously a very good player, like 30 million or something for him. Yeah. And then Reinders, they're absolutely like 50 million for him as well. It's not bad in today's market. I obviously saw him playing against Liverpool a couple of times from AC Milan and he was a very good player. And like you said at the weekend, he just ran the show. And when you're sitting, like you've lost those, you know, players that have been there every season for the past like 8 years, 9 years, and you replace them with him, you should be pretty excited. Like Kevin De Bruyne's obviously gone.
Yeah.
And you get this kid in midfield. Like you said about the young and Liverpool are young. It could be a thing for a while where these two are going back and forth again.
Yeah.
Just two young teams.
Yeah. I hope not, but yeah. Very, very, very well could be. Right, let's move on then from best signing to flop signing.
Who's that?
That'll be working in the kitchen. Right, so we've both gone for very different players. Max, would you want to explain yours first?
It doesn't seem shocking. Yeah, I went for Gyökeres at Arsenal. And it's similar reason to before with the pressure. He's coming in as their saviour. He's going to get them over the line. And I just think he's not going to deliver. Like they usually might get them 15 goals, but they need him to get 25, 30 goals. Yeah. He's not going to do that. Obviously, he's had a very interesting career. Some of the teams he's played at, Coventry, he's at Swansea on loan, wasn't he, before he went to Sporting Lisbon. He's obviously, I think he scored 57 goals in all competitions last year. But it's just a different animal, I think, Sporting. I've got quite a few friends and family here at Sporting Lisbon fans, obviously because of the Portuguese connection. They love him. But the last time a Portuguese person told me about a player that came to England and he came to Liverpool was Lazar Markovic. And they said he was brilliant. Where's he now? So I think they also play with, Sporting play with on the counter-attack a lot, and he gets into space behind the lines a lot, and he's very fast, he's powerful, but I don't think Arsenal are going to play that way. I think most of the games they'll have possession. They needed something a little bit different, and I think they settled on him. Yeah. And I honestly wonder if they realised Isak was available. I don't think they would have bought him. So I think just all the hope around him and the pressure is going to be too much, and I think he's going to flop, and that's why I also put them to finish fourth as well.
Yeah. I think it's mad, do you know, where he was rumoured to be on to Arsenal, and then the window opened and they did nothing about it, did they? He was on strike and everything. And you think, as a player, if you're looking at that team, you're thinking, I'm literally begging you to come and get me. And they didn't. So maybe you are right there. Have they just thought, we're at a point, we're going into the season now, we need a striker. Let's get him. Yeah. And you think, I don't want to say the top clubs, but the top clubs don't do that, do they? Like Liverpool are at a point where if they do get Isak, they could have maybe spent 240 odd million maybe on two strikers who are both desperate to go and play there, but they're not settling for anyone. Do you know what I mean? Like Ekitike, I can't say I'd seen much of him, but he seems to be, from what I've heard and the goals he scored, he seems to be very good player, and you think they haven't settled there for him, they've gone out, they've picked them up, and then they've now got Isak who's begging to come. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like it's a totally different world that they're currently living in. But I would like Gyökeres to do well. But
you have a soft spot for Arsenal, don't you?
I do. I'd love them to win the league, but even Arsenal fans must be sitting there now thinking, we're not going to do it. Do you know what I mean? Even they must realise that they are bottlers as much as, I know it's a controversial thing to say, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't think he'll deliver, but I don't think he'll deliver what he needs necessarily.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'd be a flop.
If you just looked at it, the actual, transfer itself, maybe it's not a flop because I think he'll be all right, but
it's about him
winning the league in a way. And like you said, I also feel that Arteta might have new direct style of the playing. He's getting you see the jokes about him being Tony Pulis and stuff. I wonder if he actually saw him and thought, he's bigger, he's stronger. Maybe that is the way he wants to go. But yeah, you're right. If Liverpool don't get Isak, they don't get anyone. That's the way they're going.
And that's okay.
Money. It's fine.
Yeah.
Whereas they've just we need the striker. We're going to get whoever's best available on the market right now. It was him. So,
yeah.
I mean, good luck to him. I hope he does all right,
Yeah. Well, speaking of strikers who aren't going to deliver, I've gone for Tierno Barry, who Max said, who's he? Which probably bodes well. So he is Everton's new star striker, who cost us 30 million from Villarreal. He's about, I think he's about 20. And when we signed him, there was a lot of buzz, like Everton fans were honestly made up. And I just looked at him on the photos. And this is purely a personal thing for me. I looked at him on the photos. He's a little lanky, skinny thing. I was just like, he's going to be terrible. I really think so. Now, apparently he was good at Villarreal last year. He was scoring goals in the Champions League, which is more than any player we've ever had done. But do you know when like I think of a striker, like look at Jokeres and like he's powerful and like he's a big stocky thing. He's quick. By all accounts, Barry's quick. But then he's also literally like this is like paper thin. I just wonder how effective is he going to be in the Premier League? And I think we're probably still just in that cycle, which we've been in my whole life, of other than when we had Lukaku, maybe, where we're just recycling through terrible strikers. Beto played last night and woeful. And then we've got Barry on the bench, and you think Barry's coming on to replace Beto. So, like, he's not got... You're never going to get a better platform to just go, be better than him. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I just don't think it's going to come. I think Everton love spending and wasting money on strikers. And I think 30 million, as you say, in football now, nothing. But we're back at square one with these strikers, I think. So I think as sad as it's going to make me, and do you know what? This actually works both ways, because either I'm right and, yeah, I can take the credit, or he's going to be unbelievable, and then I'll eat my words, and that sound. So, but yeah, I think he's going to be terrible, mate.
Outside of Lukaku, who's the best striker you've had in the past 15 years?
Potentially, I don't know, like a Yakubu. We had...
That's a long time ago now, that's
a very long time ago. Because other than that, it's been like, we've had... Velios, we've had Strakulesi. I love Stephen Naismith, but you know what I mean?
He's a forward.
Among the Premier League elite, I don't think he's included much. Yeah, I just think we had Eto as well. We had Eto for a couple of weeks.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin had one good year.
Yeah, he did. And you know what? I love Calvert-Lewin. Everton fans have turned on him for some reason, which is weird.
He needed to go, like, he was just constantly injured. He just I'm sure he was just fucking like, I can't anymore.
Yeah, but why would...
Sorry, there's going to be so many beeps in this episode.
But why would you, though? Why would you stay when, like, honestly, he'd be fit, and then the Everton fans are already groaning and going, oh, he's going to get injured again, and you're like, we can't win here, can he? Don't get me wrong, he's not the best player. He's not the best finisher. He's not the best goal scorer. But that's not his fault that he keeps getting injured. Like, he saved us in big moments, like the Crystal Palace game, for example. But I don't. Everton just have this thing, Everton fans, where if you leave Everton, you're the enemy. And I don't know why it has to be that way. I don't know why we can't all just be mates and just go, other than against Everton, I hope you do well, Calvert-Lewin. Do you know what I mean? He's playing for Leeds now. I hope he does really well. But Everton fans don't see it like that for some reason. So
yeah, if people leave Liverpool on a free, they're the enemy.
Yeah, I know.
Trent. Actually, it wasn't even free in the end, it was 10 million.
Yeah. Right, so next, then, we've gone from a terrible player in our flop to who we think is going to be the player of the season. Now, I'll go first because mine potentially might be a bit controversial amongst Blues. And also might be a bit of a stretch anyway. I'm not sure a player like him would win it, but I've gone for Alexis McAllister, who generally, I believe, player of the season is usually for the Premier League champions, because it'd be rare for player of the season to come out from anywhere else. But I just think I hate him, but I think he's great. Do you know what I mean? He's one of those Liverpool players where, like, he's absolutely quality, and I think he's so instrumental in everything to do with Liverpool at the minute. And I think Liverpool are in the place where, as we said before, they're not going to have maybe that one player that scores 30 goals that is a shoo-in for player of the season. And it'll be, by the end of the year, we might be looking and going, who's an ever-present in this Liverpool team? Who's who's vital to what they've just done. And I think McAllister might be that. So I've gone for McAllister.
Yeah, he is just a wonderful footballer. Like, yeah. I'm sure if Tosh is listening, he has a massive soft spot for Argentinian World Cup winners, and he is one. Like, he's that good. Now, I have a special hatred for some Liverpool fans on Twitter who, or ex, you know, hide behind, like, a player's photo and have some, like, Liverpool name. For some reason, in the past, like, 5-6 weeks, he's not included in anyone's, like, predicted 11 for the season. And he came on in the Charity Shield, and he's been injured. Someone put, like, this fail comp of him, saying, like, he's not, I'm like, you have no idea about football if you think he's not any good. Yeah. Yeah, he's brilliant. Just all-round good footballer, and he has been for 2 years, and I think he's actually destined to move on somewhere else after us, to be honest. I think if an offer comes in for him next season from, like, Real Madrid, I think he'd want to go. I think he's that type of player. Yeah. That would be brilliant. I like Real Madrid, so...
Yeah, very much like an Alonso type thing, innit, weren't?
Yeah.
And these South Americans, they just love, like, a Barca, Real Madrid, don't they?
And you can't deny it. You won't be able to say no to him. Like, yeah. And I think that's what happened with Alonso as well. I mean, we did try and replace him with another Barry Gareth, but...
now there's a baller for you.
Yeah. But even when he went, it was like, oh, like you said to Calvert-Lewin, like, go on, be great. Just, yeah. Not against us.
Yeah.
I went for another Liverpool player. I was toying with him to be signing of the season, but then I thought maybe his fee and the expectation was, like, around it maybe wouldn't make him signing of the season. Like, he's just expected to come in and be great. And I've gone for Florian Wirtz, who I absolutely love, and I've loved him for like 2-3 years. I think he's just an unbelievable footballer. Like, he reminds me a little bit of the way Coutinho was and how he plays, but he's just better. Massive fee, obviously, but he is a signing where I don't think Liverpool in my lifetime have ever bought someone who's already a superstar. You can go back and say, you know, Torres was a great signing, but he was at Atletico. He wasn't the player he was just yet.
Yeah, like Suarez, isn't
he? Yeah, Suarez was at Ajax. He wasn't the superstar yet. I can't think of anyone like him who is, and a lot of money, obviously, but we have it, so spend it, who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
And if he does well, Liverpool win the league. I think it's that simple. Now, he first half against Crystal Palace, he was fantastic. Second half, he wasn't. And I think he needs to get used to how up and down fast the league is. So, like, the Bundesliga is fast, but it's steady. Like, it doesn't, and like you watch a Bundesliga game and the fans are all just singing the entire time and nothing really changes. Whereas, you know, in a Premier League game, it's fast, but it'll go up and down fast and change. In the second half against Crystal Palace, he lost that. And I think he was the same at the weekend. He wasn't very good at the weekend, on Friday, sorry. I think he got taken off, but he'll get used to it pretty quickly. I mean, he's a German international, and he's just quality. He was part of that team that went undefeated and won the league all year with Bayer Leverkusen. So, yeah. I hope, man. He'll start every game. That's the other thing about the midfield stuff. It's like, it's him and McAllister and probably Gravenberch.
Yeah.
And then where the Sobbers like fit.
My only thing as well, though, on that, and if someone's got the data, they might prove me wrong. How often has a new signing won player of the season? Do you know, like, that was part of my thinking was, yeah, like you could throw like a Reinders in if they manage to get Duke City to the title, but I just can't think of new signings that come in and just would win that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh no, this isn't officially who's winning player of the season necessarily, but yeah, that was my only thing. Sometimes I think people, when they're looking at this, as much as they want it to be who's good this season, they also want it to be, but who's also been good for a couple of years. So,
yeah. I do agree with you. Go on, sorry.
No, go on.
I do agree with you, though. It definitely is always for the person whose team wins the league.
Yeah.
Like, I can't see outside of it, like, being anyone else. Maybe Haaland, did he win it? When he first came in, he scored like 40 goals, did he? But you're right, though.
No, wasn't that Foden's year? That when Foden won it? No.
Foden won it not this year, but last year. So Erling Haaland won it in 22-23. Oh, first season, right? There you go. In your face.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Happy to be wrong, but yeah.
Salah, 2018, first year, won it. 19, Van Dijk won it. You're just, I'm just blowing your thing up here.
Yeah, so congratulations to Bert for winning player of the season. Yeah, that's how we'll see. Hopefully it'll be none of them. Hopefully it'll be a City player or it'll be Jokeres after 35 goals in his first season, but I can't take myself.
Look back on my predictions at the end of the year and think Howell is left, right and centre. So we're on to our seventh category of our pre-season predictions, and it is surprise team. I have gone for a team that you may say because of the size of the club that they shouldn't really be a surprise team, but based on where they were last year and they have been for many years, I've gone for Manchester United. I think they did quite well against Arsenal, and I think Mbeumo was a great signing. I've liked him for a few years. I think he's very, very good. Cunha is a good signing. Sesko is a Football Manager player. He is one that I sign every year on Football Manager. so he's meant to be good. We will see. But I think he's obviously a very highly regarded coach. And I think that if he can get a few things right, like tactically as a team and start playing the right way, I think they'll do all right. And I think I've got them finishing maybe sixth or seventh. Because I also think everyone else has gotten worse. And the teams that are going to be playing in Europe, you've got like Nottingham Forest, Newcastle, Crystal Palace. I think they'll all... Crystal Palace are only playing because of the FA Cup, but I think they'll all sort of be in that mix too. And I think with them not playing in Europe, I think it's going to help them massively this year. Yeah, Manchester United, a bit of a weird one, but...
Yeah, it's hard when, as you say, because I don't mean this. I'm not coming at you, by the way, but like it does feel like a bit of a cop out sometimes when you say United, only because they had. But it's at a point now where they've had quite a few bad seasons, haven't they? Like,
yeah.
2 years ago, I think they still finished all right, but they're just not that team that they were. But I also agree with you. I do think that with the recruitment that they've had, I think they're looking a bit more like that team, aren't they? Like. The old United. Maybe not to the same extent, but yeah, I think a European finish, I think for United, based on where they were, I think it would be a good finish, but I also think it's necessary. I think for the money they've spent as well, I just think they need that to almost, yeah, just keep themselves in that conversation. Because Gary Neville, I know he will do it until the day he dies, but he's going to have to accept at some point, if they continue, that they're just not that anymore.
Yeah.
And like, again, it's all based on signings, isn't it? And like, they're talking about potentially getting Donnarumma. That's a big, big improvement if they can do that. And you look at, it's all if buts and maybe, but as you say, I also think they'll have a better season than they did. So
they've got to, haven't they? Like,
oh yeah.
They were 15th, only to the last day as well. I think they were actually 16 for 17 for Tottenham, weren't they?
Going to the last day.
I mean, if you said it was like, I don't know, Everton, and they finished 15th last season, and then they finished 6th, like, that's a surprise. Like, I'm just maybe cut that bit out because I've just given away your answer. but yeah, if they, you know, if they go from 15th to 16th, it's 15th to 6th, it's a massive, massive improvement for anyone. You don't have to beat the Liverpools, Manchester City's, Arsenal's. You just got to beat the rest of them, like Newcastle, yeah. Aston Villa, teams like that. And yeah, Donnarumma would be a humongous signing for them because he is one of the world's best goalkeepers. And Onana is one of the worst. So
I do think that's the issue, though, you know, when you're saying they don't have to beat the Liverpools and the whatever. My issue with them is that they still think they should.
Yeah.
Like, they still think that they should be beating those, and they think they should be in that conversation when they shouldn't. They're not there anymore. It's kind of like, I mean, move on to this maybe in a minute, but the likes of Everton. Everton fans as a whole believe that we should be up there, despite the fact our recent history showed that we shouldn't. We're nowhere near it, and we're not going to be. You know what I mean? United have got money to spend, but they're not spending it well. But I think they're building now a bit more of a squad, isn't it? It's not just like going out and buying Sancho for the name. Like they're building players, like as you say, like Cunha and Bueno, who were like proven Premier League players. They were the big fish in the small pond in their last team. And then if they can just do that again, with obviously a bit more kind of fuss, I think United would be sound. And as you say, it's from that. John, we doing these predictions, I was thinking about doing like a fifth or a sixth, but then you think, I think fifth to about like 13th could be anyone in any order. Because it's just, you never know where anyone's going to be because, as you say, Europe plays an impact. Like it could be anyone. I feel like the Premier League's just a bit mad at the minute. A team that I hope will be sneaking into that, my surprise team. Do you know what? I hope they will. I'm not sure they will, especially after this weekend's debacle. But I've gone with Everton. I think we ended last season so well, and like just the whole feel good factor of being an Everton fan was back last season. It was getting Moyes back. Well, it was for me anyway. Getting Moyes back just felt like, some would say it's going backwards, but I don't think it was. It's like, it's getting that kind of the heart of the club back, which is what he's done. He's famous for making transfers of like maybe little known players and making them into something. I'm not sure he kind of got the ability to do that now because of the pressure that's on him. But I just think with Moyes there and the players he's got, I think we'll be sound. And I think if we can sneak into the top half, I think I'd be made up with that, but I genuinely don't think it's completely against, like, I think it could happen, you know what I mean, the way the Premier League is. So Everton and my team that I think might give people a run for the money.
I know you just mentioned Moyes is famous for turning like little known players into stars, but is that your flop signing as well?
Maybe, but he also bought some terrible players too. So Barry could be one or the other. But you look at like, you always think about like when Moyes back in the day when he'd buy like a Fellaini, and he just turned him into a monster. Like Fellaini and Everton was unbelievable, and like Kael, Arteta, and these players who aren't quite there, he turns them into something. They've all gone on to have good careers. So, maybe he's a bit old for that, and the game's changed, hasn't it? Do you know what I mean?
We're
20 years down the line.
I think David Moyes is a great coach more than anything else. Like, obviously, since I've been like coaching over here, and we do a lot of like classes or like he'll host something or whatever and talks and things like that. Like he's so well regarded in the coaching world, and he just, like you said, as soon as he became your manager, I was like, they're not going down.
Yeah.
And now it's a case of like he's gonna make the next step. And you know, you think back to like, and when did he become first manager? Was it like 2003
it was, I think.
You went like 17th and then you went like 6th. And it was like 17th again, I think. Yeah. And then you went 4th. Like he has the ability to take them up, and like we said before, there's a lot of teams that are bad this year.
Yeah.
So,
and I also think, as much as like all anyone talks about with Everton at the minute is the new ground, and the new ground can only do so much, but I do think like forget about Leeds, just see how it goes at Brighton at the weekend. Like first game at Bramley Moor, I just think, you don't know what the atmosphere is going to be like. It could be unbelievable. Do you know what I mean? I think that might have a big impact. I've not been myself, but I literally can't wait for Sunday. It's going to be so good.
It's going to be rough with that train station afterwards when you lose.
End up walking home, an hour and a half home. But yeah, it'll hopefully be worth it. So fingers crossed.
Now, next category is first manager to be sacked. And you might be looking at my answer thinking, who is that? That's what I was thinking as well when I had to Google who the manager was the other day. Because I've been for Wolves manager, Vitor Pereira. Wasn't there a period like 2 years ago where he was sacking a manager like every 3-4 months?
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I have them 19th. So I genuinely think if it's going bad, they'll get rid of him and try and find someone else. But yeah, I've got no hope for Wolves. I've got no hope for Vitor Pereira.
Yeah.
That's all I can say on that, like.
I feel like when we were in our little merry-go-round a couple of years ago of, like, the Ronald Koemans, the Marco Silvers, I'm sure we were heavily linked to him. And it was just a bit like, even then, we were just a bit like, who is this fella? Not that we all knew Marco Silva. Well, no, we suppose we did. He was at Watford, wasn't he? But, yeah, it was like, who is he? And then all of a sudden, he's at Wolves. I think he is quite highly well thought of. But, yeah. I also agree to all these teams. You don't know what the board's like, but you just know they're going to have a rough season.
Yeah.
And if you have a rough season, you're always at risk, aren't you? As again, with this, I thought there was so many it could be. Like, I think the list is shorter for people you're certain are going to lose the jobs. Like, you know, like I'd be sitting, Moyes isn't going to lose his job, for example, or like Eddie Howe could go, Andrews could go. Like, and I was torn for mine between two. Obviously, I've gone for Daniel Farke, which I think is pretty much a certainty that he's going to go at some point, unless he manages to have an absolute blinder. But even then, he was nearly sacked end of last season, wasn't he? And they won the championship. So, yeah, I don't know what their owners are thinking, but it was also that or Nuno at Forest, where, like, their owner seems to be like, we seem to have gone back to the world of, you know, like, mad owners of, like, the Barclays era, like when you had your Roman Abramovich's and all these mad fellas. He seems to be one of them, like, just absolute nutter. And I feel like, I think Forest obviously aren't going to hit the height they did last season. I think they're going to be lower. They're going to struggle a bit more. They've got Europe to contend with. If his results aren't where they should be, he could easily go. So it was torn between the two, but I've gone for Daniel Farke. I think he'd be gone by Christmas easy.
Yeah, I was thinking him as well. And obviously I've got Leeds getting relegated as well.
Yeah.
They're a club, you know, talk about like fans that think you should be higher up than you are. Leeds are a club that think they should be up there too. So obviously a big city, big club, I suppose. Even if they do well, they'll get rid of him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like they want someone else in and get a better manager and to keep them in. So it's just, if they start to like look bad, it'll happen sooner rather than later. So I was torn between those two, and I went for the no name.
We might not even know if he gets sacked. No one knows who he is.
No, exactly. And then you'll get freaking some other random guy in.
Yeah,
like I'm looking at like his managerial history. It's like he was at Al Shabab last over there, and he was in Brazil, Flamengo and Corinthians, all one season each. Fenerbahce, one season. He was in China for a bit. Like, he's been everywhere. Portugal mostly.
Still was he at Porto? No.
He was at Porto as an assistant, and then for 2 years, 2011, 2013.
I feel like it was around then we were linked with him. Yeah. Right, we're going moving on to our final two now, final two predictions. So this one is mid-table merchants. So the idea is, who do we think's going to come in that? They'll be saying 10th or 11th. Should we just go either or? Who's going to be that team that just has a bit of a nothing season? Now, I think we've discussed quite a lot that it could be anyone at this point, but we have gone for Forest and Fulham. So I've gone for Forest. I think, as I said in the last category, I think they're going to have a difficult season managing Europe. Lost a couple of players. You've got to be a certain level of team to do what they did twice on the bounce, especially. And I just don't think they're going to do it. I think they'll fall off, not to the point where they're struggling, but I think they'll have a 10th or an 11th for solid season, a decent run in Europe, and the owner won't be happy. Nuno gets sacked and they fall into chaos again. I also kind of hope they do a little bit. I don't know if you've been keeping up to date with the whole Crystal Palace Conference League.
Absolutely.
Like, Forest haven't shone much, or what's the word, haven't put themselves in the best light, let's just say that.
Yeah.
All the fans have been insufferable. They've even had like the Europa League badges on the kit and all, and you just think, you haven't deserved that. So, like, yeah, I'd be made up if they had a terrible season. So I'm going with Forest.
Yeah, I think it might have been Carragher on the fan debate, but he was like, just stay out of it. Like, they got involved.
And yeah, were,
like,
yeah.
Pushing for Crystal Palace to get demoted to the Champions League, which I absolutely hate. Like, you did not deserve to be there. If you did, you would have been there. That was that simple. Why get involved? Just let,
and it's always like, as you say, if they stayed out of it and they got given it, they could be like, we'll take it. And they could have almost been like, what's the word, like, good winners, like where they go,
yeah,
like gracious winners, but they haven't. And I just think it's put quite a few people's noses out of joint, hasn't it?
Yeah, and he's an absolute Wally the owner, is he? was it the last day of the season where like he comes on the field?
Yeah, he was near the end. I don't know if it was the last one, but yeah,
and like I think it was the forward and Yoni or something, and that guy who used to play for Liverpool Academy, and he ends up in the hospital.
Oh yeah,
About why like
with the head injury,
I do hope they suffer. Plus,
yeah,
bunch of Tories. So
are they?
Yeah, I think they do. Like the Liverpool games have always been quite contentious with them. The fans aren't great with the Liverpool, but I mean most teams aren't anyway. Yeah. I went for Fulham. Fulham to me are a nothing club. Sorry, any Fulham fans. I just don't think anything of them. I never look for that game. If they finished 11th, I would not know or care. Yeah. And that's I almost like Crystal Palace, because similar to Forest, where they're going to be in Europe. They're a good side, but they might like struggle with both. But with the news like this week that Eze might be leaving and going to Spurs, and then possibly Gehi going to Liverpool, I think that is going to hinder them a little bit. I think they might finish lower than actually mid-table. So they could get dragged into that like big group of six or seven. But yeah, for Fulham, I don't even know who they signed this year. Who's the manager?
It's Dingy, isn't it? Marco Silva.
Oh, yeah. So there you go. Don't care.
Do you know what? Weirdly, on that, I'm not being a nothing club. This thought came to me yesterday. I looked at the Fulham badge. It must have been on like something on Twitter or something. Have you ever taken in how bad the Fulham badge is?
Yeah, just letters. Like,
it honestly, like, I'm all for making stuff on Canva. Obviously, everything we do is on Canva. But Jesus, that looks like it's been made on paint. It's just like a big strip of white FFC. That's it. I can't believe in this world where clubs are changing badges left, right, and centre. How have they not updated that badge? It's honestly diabolical. Like,
you can even say it is like a minimalist like design that someone would have designed to like replace an original classic badge.
Like, the way like Everton sometimes have the tower and Liverpool have the bird, and that like that could be that as like an alternative badge, but like that's their actual badge that they actually put on merch and everything. Like, I just think it's dreadful me.
So, for that, I
agree. I want them to just dwell in the doldrums of the Premier League. Right, let's flip it then. So from an average to bad season, we're going to go for our very last prediction, which takes us slightly out of the Premier League and it focuses in Europe. So we're going to think of which Premier League team do we think is going to have the best run in Europe. So, Max, would you like to go first?
Yeah, I went with Liverpool. I think we will win the Champions
League. There's a surprise.
Honestly, I thought we were the best team in Europe last season. And that game, you know, we had the two legs of PSG and we lost on penalties. It could have went either way. And we had a couple chances. And again, Donnarumma was just unbelievable that night at Anfield. If we'd have beat PSG, I thought we would have went out and won it. And I think with the additions, it's such a good squad to be in Europe. You'll be able to rotate. You'll keep players fit. I think PSG, obviously, were brilliant anyway. And I think the rest of the European teams, like, I've got a mate here who's a massive Barcelona fan. I don't think they'll win it because of that high line that got found out against Inter. Inter keep getting far but don't win. Real Madrid, I don't know about Real Madrid. I don't think the squad's a bit weirder than Mbappe, isn't it? So it's like,
yeah, it's just like the Galacticos all over again.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Like, it is, isn't it? And then you think like the rest of the teams. So obviously City, they got beat by, was it Al Hilal in the Club World Cup?
Yeah.
It's a young side. I don't know if they'll probably go far, obviously. But you said Chelsea will focus on the Champions League, which they will. I don't think they'll do too well. And then Arsenal, a bunch of bottlers, like we said, or I said. Don't want to drag you into it.
If they're coming for you, come for you, not me.
Yeah. But the only other thing I thought was the Conference League with Crystal Palace. If they keep Eze and Gehi, that's a competition any Premier League team can win.
They're not going to keep them, though, are they?
No.
Did you see Gehi at the weekend?
Yeah, he just walked off, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, that's a bit weird, isn't it?
And you think, even, I feel even sorry for them there. Like, they fought off Newcastle last year, didn't they, for like the big money offer. And he's going to go to Liverpool on the cheap. It's like, number one, it's classic Liverpool getting coming out smelling the roses in every situation. But I just feel sorry for Palace there. Like, they've gone from like unbelievable. Like, I don't think there's a fan on the planet, really, when you think about it, that wasn't buzzing for them when the FA Cup. Like,
oh, yeah.
Such a nice story. Then obviously beating you in the Community Shield, it was great. And then I feel like now they're just getting the rug pulled out from under them with kicked out of Europa League. The two best players getting potentially taken from them. I just think, I can't see a world in where they come out of this well, which is really sad. But I mean, they might surprise me. But
the timing's bad, isn't it? As well, like the Eze ones came from nowhere. The season's already started.
Yeah.
They're not going to find anyone to replace him. I don't think they expected to lose him. And then the Gehi one was strange, I thought, because there has been talk all summer of it. But the last thing, like a week before the Community Shield, was, yeah, if it comes down for 35 million, it just comes next year.
And that was it.
And then suddenly all this thing happened at the weekend, and now he's walking off the field. It's just a bit strange. So,
yeah,
I do feel bad for them, but. Yeah. I won't be feeling too bad for them when Liverpool win the Champions League. So.
Right, well, enough Liverpool. I'm fed up talking about them now. I've gone for Villa. I was torn between two. I did have Chelsea in me thoughts because I do think they will put everything into doing well in Europe, especially on the back of the Club World Cup when you think like absolutely trouncing PSG. That'll give them a big boost. But then I do look at the squad and I do think I just don't rate a lot of their players. Like, I mean, I personally, I might be the only one here. I think Liam Delap is rubbish.
Yeah.
I just don't see the hype around him at all. I like that Yao Pedro, even though I think he's horrible. He's like a horrible fella, isn't he? But I think they'll focus on it. They'll get to a certain level, but I don't think they'll make it. Maybe in a knockout. But I think Villa potentially got a very, very good chance of winning the Europa League. It just seems to be English teams do now, don't they? Like the amount of English teams we have in finals last couple of years. And I think Villa are in a good place. They've got good squad. I know they've had to sell a couple of players, but good squad coming off the back of a good couple of seasons. Great manager, especially in Europe. Unai Emery is the king of winning the Europa League, isn't he?
Yeah.
So,
which crack? Sorry.
I think I'll go Villa. But for me, it's anyone but Liverpool. So that's the main thing.
Yeah, Villa's like, the Europa League, it's with the Champions League format now. Like, the Premier League's such a good league, and so there's so much depth for teams that it's now like the fifth, sixth, seventh teams in like Spain and Italy just aren't as good anymore.
Yeah.
And there's no chance. You saw last season Manchester United and Tottenham in the final.
Yeah.
Like,
no, just disgrace.
And they were 15th. It was such a disgrace. And when they get to the semi final, like, there's not a chance they're not getting to the final.
Oh, no.
It was just written on the wall straight away. So, all the best teams are just in the Champions League. And then the Premier League's just got the money to get the best players out, and I think it'll be a while where you're going to see English teams in the final of that competition and the Conference League. Like, who won the Conference League last year? Do you even know?
Think you won it. Chelsea?
Yeah, Chelsea. And then 2 years ago, it was West Ham.
Yeah.
Like you said, Crystal Palace are in a rough spot. So.
Yeah.
But it'll be someone else next year. Whoever finishes 7th or 8th or whatever it is.
And that's what we said before, isn't it? Like, you look in the Premier League now, from 5th to, like, 12th, it could be so many different teams that you think, and any of them probably would have a decent run. If you put Brighton now in the Europa League, they'd probably have a decent run at it, wouldn't they? So it's all quite interchangeable. But as you say, like, England just dominates, and Villa just looks strong. And I think everyone likes Villa. Well, I think most teams as neutrals probably quite like Villa. So I'd like them to do it. Right, so that's all 10 done. If you would like a little reminder, here is all of our predictions from start to finish. Now, I'm sure we'll be referencing these throughout the season. Obviously, we'll be probably highlighting the howlers rather than the good shouts. But yeah, these might come back to bite us, or we might look like oracles come May. But yeah, there's all our predictions, and that is our lot for episode one. As I said earlier on, we've had a little bit of time away, and as like the returning host, it is good to be back. I've really enjoyed being back in the Keeping Up Appearances world. I've missed it a lot, and I feel like we've got a really good season ahead of us. We are going to have guests on. We'll have friends of the podcast who've been on before. We might have new people. We might even have a couple of big name guests, as we have in the past. So a lot to look forward to. And next week we'll be back with a regular episode, so you'll see our new structure, and you may see a returning face as well, hopefully. Right, Max, thank you for episode one. Anything you'd like to say before we sign off?
Up the Reds.
No. We'll cut that out. Up the Pinks. No, definitely not. I meant that based on the Kua symbol, but definitely not up the Pinks. Okay, what a terrible way to end. See you next week.
See you next week.